Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Well, over the last six podcasts, we have been looking into a subject that I call the fix. In December of 2005, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through my mouth these words, 2006 is the year for the fix. So in January, after meditation, I spoke in the pulpit of my church, the Light Church Fellowship, which is located at 1244 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. I spoke in the pulpit of our church three sermons on the subject of the fix, and how God in this day is going to set things in order for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, for the previous six podcasts, we have been looking at that subject. Now, today's podcast is going to be the continuation and the completion of the third sermon. So we are going to join the service already in progress. Glory be unto God. We invite you to get and download the previous podcast if you have not done so, so that you can be caught up on this subject in the name of Jesus. So we'll speak to you after the completion of the sermon and give you some more information about David Oakes Ministries. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
Now go back to 1 Kings 19, if you would, please. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time. So here comes the messenger one time, and he says, get up, eat and drink. Then he comes the second time and says, get up, wake up, eat, drink. Get up, wake up. So one time wasn't enough. He had to come two times. It's showing us that there's a multiplication here. You're not going to get it done in one time. In fact, let's find out something about the devil. The devil doesn't give up after one time. That's why you'll not get it done with one time. Turn with me to Luke, the fourth chapter. Here is just a wonderful two scriptures to illustrate this fact. These, in fact, are not the same event. They're two different events that most people take as one event. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. We know what it says. It gets down into verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He just left for a little while, but he didn't come back. Now let's look at another entrance of this same event. Matthew, the fourth chapter, if you would, please. Matthew 4, verse 11. This is the same wilderness experience that Jesus was in, but an entirely different conclusion. Verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The first time the devil left for a season, which tells us he came back. But this time the devil left him for good, and God ministered unto Jesus, and it thrust him into his ministry. Let me tell you something, and most of you know this to be true. I'll go beyond. All of you know this to be true. The devil will come at you with one thing, and you just won't say bye. He'll keep coming and keep coming, and then after you gain the total victory over it. The devil's a good repeater. He'll come back to test it. Test your resolve. He came back to test Jesus' resolve. Well, that's the exact illustration we have in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. And he'll keep coming back in that area until you say, no, that's it. No more. That's it. And you prove that you're going to stand firm. So here was the sleeping church, Elijah, a man subject to like passions just as we are. And the messenger said, wake up, here's a little food, here's the word of God, here's the Holy Ghost going to minister the word and the Spirit, glory to God. And then all of a sudden, he's back asleep. So here comes the messenger again. I'm glad it said pastor, because a pastor knows. He experiences this. Wake up, take the word. Many of you for years have heard me say, get the word, get the word, get the word. Faith level low, word level low. Get the word, get the word. I mean, spend time with God in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Bathe it with the word. Bathe your life with other tongues. Hallelujah. Let the word of God raise in you richly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Be ye being filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Get not by yourself. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, Ramashandorabaka. Start prophesying. Build yourself up. Amen. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. So it came again. Said, wake up. Wake up. Everybody say, wake up. We cannot just minister once and that does it. We have to continue putting in the word and the spirit. Now, in this day and time, God's going to set in order the messengers. And I believe it's all of us who are the mature church, the awake church. We're going to be bolder in this hour, bolder in this day. Glory to God to say, wake up. Look at what's going on. Look what the Bible says is going on. Wake up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now let's look on, because the fix is on. You know, Hebrews, the 5th chapter, verse 12 says, for even though by this time you ought to be teaching others. See, there's a time in God that you, and God expects us to get there quicker than most people get there, where you start instructing others. Where you know, you might not have a church, but you take the Bible with them and say, let's go to this scripture. Let's study what it says about healing. You can get your healing. Amen. Somebody that's sick, instead of saying, well, you know, I'll just go with you and pat you on the hand at the doctor. Well, praise the Lord, do we need to support people? But take them to the word of God. Be bold enough. And God's going to set us in order to be bold enough. Amen. Those that are timid, God's going to, and you're going to go to 1 Peter 2:24, and you're going to start going over the word of God with people and putting the word in them. And then they'll go back to sleep and they'll start talking all kinds of ugly things against the word. Well, you know, I'm sick. I'm dying. I'm sick. No, you're going to stand. You say, wake up. Let's go back to the word. Let's go back to the word. The word's your answer. This the word. Get back. Go back here to the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God's going to set messengers in order. God wants every one of us to be a messenger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's look at 1 Kings 19 again, if you're not there. Because we got to go on. Verse 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Why did he tell the sleeper to eat? Why? Because of the journey. You got to get strength for this journey. I mean, the devil is out to take you out. This is a hard journey. And if you're not operating and functioning exactly where God wants you to function, it's a harder journey. Now, all journeys have got their challenges, but not operating where God wants you to operate has got a great challenge. It's a long, difficult journey. Elijah, a type of the sleeping church, had gotten off God's plan for his life. That's why he was here in this stupor, because he'd gotten off the plan. But the messenger is feeding him the word, and he's getting ready to get back on the plan. And he goes a long ways away to get back. In fact, what it says, and he arose and did eat and drink in verse 8, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Now, it tells us down here he was supposed to have been in Damascus. Let me give you some. So he was in the Jezreel Valley. About Mount Carmel. You know Jezreel Valley by the Valley of Armageddon. So then he ran, he dumped his servant, and he ran, and now he's in Beersheba. From Jezreel to Beersheba is like 120 miles. And then he told him to go to Horeb, which was where the presence of God was. That's where Moses, God exposed himself in the burning bush to Moses. That's where the commandments came. It's where the presence of the Lord was. He's trying to get him back in the presence of God. And so from Beersheba to Horeb is about 180 miles. So now what he's a long ways from where God wants him. Now, from Jezreel, where he started out, to where God wanted him was 100 miles north. So here he's gone 120 miles south, 180 more miles south. That's 300 miles. He's got to make up that 300, that 600, plus the 100 back to Damascus. I mean, he's 700 miles out of the will of God. When you're 700 miles out of the will of God, you need to eat a lot of word. Now, we're not talking about miles, miles, miles. We're talking about he was really a long ways out of God's plan for his life. God's plan was that he just bop up 100 miles to Damascus. Be bang, right where God wanted him to be. But no, man, he had to get back in the presence of God. He wasn't functioning in the presence of God. Hello, church. Now, the sleeping church is miles away from God's plan and purpose for their life. Why? Why are they? Well, look at verse 9. He came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? In other words, he's saying, why are you so far out of my will? Why? God knows the answer. And he starts giving him excuses. He says, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Notice, I've been jealous. I only am left, and they seek my life. Notice something about the sleeping church. My. The sleeping church is like a little baby. You go to some toddlers, and it's mine. It's mine. It's all about me. When the work of the Lord becomes all about you, you are asleep from the reality, my folks, because it's not all about me. Or when my wife says, she says, it's not all about me. Or when my dad says, it's not all about I. It's about people. The sleeping church has focused their attention on me. Well, I'm the only one that's really doing anything for God. The spotlight all on me. And now, me. Nobody likes me. They're not doing it my way. They don't want to have anything to do with me. That sermon was preached straight at me. Only reason he said that is because he knows about me. The sleeping church is all about I, me, me, me. Me, 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 me. We're not vocalizing here. It's a sign of a sleeping church. When you focus your attention on what I want out of this, it's all about me, you're falling asleep. You're getting further and further and further away from God's plan. That's a good word. Amen. The sleeping church thinks it's all about them, but it ain't. But it's not. And the mature, awake church knows it's not about I and me. We know it's about what the Lord desires and what is going to take to reach and be a blessing to people. Hallelujah. Now, the mature church, the messenger, the awake church, had sown the word and the spirit into the sleeping church. Elijah, picture of the sleeping church. Notice verse 12, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. Here's the wonderful thing about anyone who's in the church. Their spirit is still made in the image and likeness of God, and the Holy Ghost is still in them. He didn't depart. He's still in them. And they're still capable, when they get in the presence of God, to hear that still, small voice of direction. And their heart starts to speak to them and say, now this is not right. This is not what you're not supposed to be running from this hag. You're not supposed to be running. You're supposed to be about the Lord's work. Now let's see something, okay? So that here's the good news. Just like with the widow, the anointing reached to the outer perimeters. Here's the sleep church, and there's, if you awaken it, give them the word, that's still small. There's human spirit, the recreated spirit with the Holy Ghost on the inside. You'll hear that's what I'm supposed to do. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm not supposed to be slumbering. I've got a work to do for the Lord. Now notice what happens. Verse 13, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. So he took his cloak that he had around his body and put it, wrapped his face in it. Now, we know that the mantle is a type of the anointing of God. But this is even, I've mentioned this a few weeks ago because I taught this, probably it's been 8 or 10 years ago, an afternoon Bible study that I was teaching, a 30-minute Bible study at lunch for 2 solid weeks. And I taught on praying for your pastor. And in the Septuagint, the word mantle here is the word sheepskin. The mantle was made out of sheepskin. And I asked this question back then, and then I asked it a few weeks ago. What does it take to get a sheepskin? Yeah, a sheep has to die. A sheep has to lay down its life. And so we use this as sheep laying down their life, praying for their ministers, praying for their pastors, praying for those where they lay down their life. We're not talking about dying. We're talking about dying to yourself, but laying down your life and praying, putting off other things and lifting up people. Glory to God. And so this is a type of glory to God. There's really a triangle happening here. Maybe I should have had a whiteboard or something. Up at the top of the triangle would be the messenger. Over here is the praying church, praying for the asleep church. And over here, on this part of the triangle, over here, is finally that person that was asleep taking the anointing and wrapping themselves in it. You know, I can preach the word and somebody can be praying for you, but until you take the initiative to take the anointing and apply it to your life, it's not going to do any good. We can pray till we're blue in the face. We can preach till we're green, till this whole thing looks like a big bruise. I mean, we can be getting everything in it. Glory to God. But until you wrap yourself in that which has been provided by the preaching of the word and glory to God, the prayer of the saints. But then this whole part of the triangle over here is the church that wraps themselves in the anointing. Now, something glorious begins to happen at that time. They start becoming a messenger. So there's another triangle that forms off of them. And they're a messenger. They're at the top of another. This is God's triangle plan. His pyramid plan. Glory to God. Somebody praying over here. Somebody wrapping themselves with the anointing. Then they become a messenger. Glory to God. And the pyramid starts again off of them. Now we're going to see that in just a second. God's plan is that the messengers are set in order and start preaching the gospel. But then there are other things set in order under them, as people begin to respond to the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look here with me. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. But notice this, after he wraps himself in the anointing, God straightens out his theology. Straightens him out. Notice what it says. And the Lord said unto him, go return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. You got a long trip in front of you. But there was a reason why. On thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Well, we know what happened when God speaks like this. You can actually go, you didn't just write it down. In 2 Kings, the 8th chapter, verse 10, it wasn't Elijah that anointed, it was Elisha that spoke it out. Now you're beginning to see how God sets things in order. God had something for him to do. Say, I'm Elijah, my wife's Elisha. Elisha-im. God said, okay, we're going to put the Copenhagers right in line. They're Haziel. Okay? So God says, you've got to go back and anoint Haziel. But the set in order was, you're going to anoint Elisha, and Elisha's going to anoint Haziel. But if you don't do it, it's never going to get done. The order of God is you go from this one to this one to this one to this one. And it's just like the first one who started it out is the one doing it, because they're the one that started it. That's like when we stand before devils in the name of Jesus, it's just like Jesus standing there. They respond the same way. Praise the Lord. Well, we can go on. Notice what it says. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Here's the glorious thing. In 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, we find out that Elijah's not the one who splashed the oil on him. Elisha wasn't the one who splashed the oil on him, but it was Elisha's prophet servant that splashed the oil. Elisha sent him to do it. So it went from Elijah to Elisha to Elisha's servant, the prophet, from the servant to Jehu, to get the word, to get the will of the Lord done. But it was all set in order because a man, glory to God, woke up. Let me tell you something. What God has for us to do in life, we might not see the results of it. Elijah left before Haziel and Jehu were anointed. He went to heaven, but because he got his act together and woke up, it was set into motion, and things were set in order for the anointings to take place. So you say, well, it's just, you know, it's just me. I don't know how important I am. What we set in motion, we may never see what God intended. Praise the Lord. I know for a fact that someone that I have influenced in their life is going to reach thousands more than I ever reached. I've seen it, but we started something in their life, and they're going to carry it out as they mature in the Lord. Praise the Lord, and we get to heaven. I'm just going to get to glory in the fact of what God has done. Hallelujah. So the church is waking up. Glory be unto God. I said the church is waking up. God is anointing in 2006. Messengers. He's setting in order messengers. He's fixing things so that the church wakes up. More bold sermons. And after they're preached, without apology. Amen. We need to pray for our leaders that when they speak by the anointing of the Spirit, that the world doesn't make them retreat. Well, the world doesn't make them, but the world puts so much pressure on them. If they spoke it by the anointing, just say, that's the way it is, no matter what. Wake up. Because what happens when you turn on the alarm clock and then apologize, you turn off the alarm clock. And people don't have to notice what's taking place. Praise the Lord, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, somebody might say, well, you know, I'll never be bold enough to do that. Well, undoubtedly, God doesn't believe you. I'd never be bold enough to do something for the Lord. Well, look over to Exodus, the 4th chapter. I know some of you, and some of you, you know, you just, I never could be a messenger. I could never have anything. That's for people with more explosive personalities than me. Chapter 4, I want you to notice something about Moses. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto him. So here's Moses, don't you think he had a message? Let my people go? so that they may serve me. This guy was a messenger. And the first thing, nobody ever listened to me. Matter of fact, I'm a stutterer. Are you listening? He's saying, I can't do this. Behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. Me. He just didn't want to look badly in front of people. He wanted to just go on in obscurity. He wants you to lay it on the line, glory to God, and here's the word of the living God. Hallelujah. Me. Here we go. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. So here's God's response. What do you got? What do you got in your hand? Let me just paraphrase. Use it. What you have in your hand, use it. And that's my counsel to people this morning. Whatever you have, use it to be your basis for giving forth messages. The message, the word of the living God. I like the translation that's called the message. Messengers take the word. Messengers share the word. You say, well, I don't really know it. Well, get Brother Hagin's book and open it up between the pages. And just read the book to somebody. And close your Bible before they see it. No, there's word out there you can share. Use what you got in your hand. You know, I was thinking about this, and use your talents. Absolutely. Use your talents. There was an email that came this morning through the website, and I haven't thought of this person in years, but when they were young, like a teenager, they came to the church, and then their family moved away with Phillips. And it's probably been at least 12, 14 years since they've been here. Now they're adults, and they wrote it to send us an email and said, Pastor David, I've just been thinking about your music. Can you tell me how I can get your Hebrew music and tell me how I can get English music? And I just got to thinking. Just I used something I had, and it ministered to some little kid. He was a young teen. I mean, he might not have been a teenager. But I just used what I had. Just a little talent. Use what's in your hand. Praise the Lord. So the angel is a picture of the mature church or the awake church. And Elijah is a picture of the asleep church or the sleeping church. But this is the hour of the awakening. Amen. And the awake church goes forth in the power of the Spirit to give forth the word and the Holy Ghost. And the sleeping church responds by beginning the process over all, again, over. It's going to happen over and over and over. They begin the process in somebody else's life. And that's the thing about it. It's just not so one person. It's so that somebody comes to the position where they, too, hallelujah, are messengers.
Praise the Lord. This is Pastor David once again. Thanking you for joining us for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. You have been listening for the last 7 podcasts to the subject of The Fix. Remember us online, if you would please, davidoaksministries.org, DAVIDOAKS ministries.org. Thanks again. We'll see you next time in the name of the Lord Jesus. And remember, Jesus is coming soon. Bye-bye for now.